The finite difference method for parabolic equation, because we know the parabolic equation from the exercise, so I will go a little bit fast, and whenever you don't understand, please stop me and ask question. Thanks. So we shall consider a simple model for the heat conduction. When x belong to 0, 1, and t belong to 0, bit t. Here, we assume that b and c are bounded function, and c is not negative. So to solve this equation, to make sure that the solution of this equation is unique, we need the initial condition, which is here at t is 0, is 0x for every x belong to 0, 1, and u0 is a given function. And to simplify the calculation, here I will assume the homogeneous Dirichlet boundary, which is at x is 0, is 0, and u at x is 1, is 0 too for every x belong, for every t belong to 0, t. So to numerically solve this equation, we shall redesign the x axis and the t axis, and by x0, x1, x2, xn, xn plus 1. Here, xi is ih, and x is 1 over n plus 1. And I also redesign the t axis. T0, T1, T2, and so on, where Tj is j tau, and tau is t over m. And then we will consider the parallel lines. So we create the parallel lines. And to get the root, So notice that we only need to calculate the value of the solution at the response inside the square, because on the boundary of the square, we also know the value of u. So we know here, we know the value of u because it's a boundary condition. Here, also boundary condition, when x is 0, and here is initial condition. D is 0. So we should calculate the value of u on the response inside the square. So on those response, ux, xy, dj. So we shall try to calculate this value when I is from 1 to up to n, and j is 1 to up to n. So if you remember the exercise 7.4, we can denote by UDH. UD is the vector contain the value u at x1, d u at x2, d u at xn, d. So ut is the value here. So this is ut1. This is ut2. And so on. And if you consider this one and use the approximation of uxx and ux as following. So uxx at xi d will be u of xi plus 1 d minus 2 uxi d plus uxi minus 1 d over x squared plus o x squared and ux xi d is u at xi plus 1 d minus u at xi minus 1 d over 2x plus O x squared. Then we can approximate this equation by the ODE du dt at t is minus LH u plus FD, where LH is defined is a matrix, n by n matrix, and is defined by 1 over h d1 x1 r2 d2 x2 dn rn. and here di is 1 is 2 plus x squared c xi. Xi is minus 1 plus h e xi over 2. Ri is minus 1 minus h b x I over 2. We have already discussed about this formula at section 1.8.2. So you can take a look if you need more explanation. So after we get this equation, we can apply, for example, explicit Euler method or implicit Euler method to numerically solve this ODE. And today I will discuss three methods to solve this equation. So the first one is explicit Euler method, the second one is implicit Euler method, and the third one is theta method. So we will take a look at the explicit Euler method first. So from now on, I will define u h I is u x at d j. So from the explicit Euler method, we can calculate u at j plus 1 by using the value of u at j plus the time step times the value of the function here at d is j. So here we have LH because this is constant matrix, and then here is u hj plus f at dj. And for the implicit Euler, we also have the same. So u at j plus 1 is u at j plus tau of f. But here we show you the value of the function f at dj plus 1. So here we have minus L U at J plus 1 plus F at DJ plus 1. And for the theta method, so we also have the same as the implicit and explicit. So first we have U as j plus 1 is u at j plus theta tau, and then here we still have something like theta of f dj plus 1. Here I call this is f theta, and then 1 minus theta f of dj. So this can be written in the formula of L and U as follow. So theta and then L H U H J plus 1 plus F dj plus 1 plus 1 minus theta minus u xj plus f dj. So we can see that if theta is 0, then we get the explicit Euler. And if theta is 1, we get the implicit Euler. So from now on, I will use only the formula of theta methods, but I will take theta is 0 if I mention implicit Euler, and if I will take theta is 1 if I mention implicit Euler. So we see that from this formula, we have if we take u of j plus 1 to the left hand side, we will get something like identity matrix plus tau theta lh u h j plus 1 is identity matrix plus minus 1 minus theta tau LH UHJ plus tau theta F dj plus 1 plus tau 1 minus theta f dj. So we know from section 1.8.2 that the matrix LH is diagonal dominant and has negative so it has positive diagonal and negative non-diagonal element when h is small enough. So then we know that because of this property, then I plus tau theta LH is also diagonal dominant and his positive diagonal element and negative non-diagonal element when h is small enough and for any tau theta not negative. So because of this, we can apply the lemma 1.41 to get that this matrix is invertible. This means that we can take the inverse of this to the right hand side, and then we can calculate u of j plus 1 from this formula, and notice that u of x, u at 0 is just this one, and this is given. So from this formula and from the starting value at 0 here, we can calculate this value for every j. And to simplify the notation, I will divide this by m theta, and this I will divide by n theta. So up to here, we know that we can always calculate the value at each response inside the rectangle by using this formula. But we don't know that this value is a good approximation to the exact solution or not. So later I will prove that this is actually a good approximation of the exact solution. So we will go to the conversion analysis. So the goal of this section is to prove that u at j plus 1 is a good approximation of ut, where ut is the vector u at t x1 t u at x2 t u at xn t and u at xi t is the exact solution at xi t. So to prove this, we will prove that this one converts to this one when h and tau go to 0. So to prove the conversion, we need to define some appropriate norm. And in the following, I will prove that this one converts to this one in the maximum norm. I think in the next course, Professor Harak will discuss about the conversion in the different norm, for example, the two norm or one norm. But here we just consider the maximum norm. So we start with the main theorem of this section, which is you can take a look at the theorem 2.16 in the lecture notes. So let U H J be from the formulation star U D is the vector of the exact solution at x1 d, x2 d, where small u at xi d is the exact solution then we can prove that for the explicit Euler we have U at J minus U at DJ in the maximum norm converse to zero. And for the implicit Euler, we have the same conversion, but we do not require any condition. So here only for h and tau go to zero. Any question? Great. So we will start to prove this theorem. So because we want to prove the formula here and here, that's not true for every J, so we will prove by induction. So prove by induction. So for J is zero, we know that U x0 will be exactly U at d0. So the statement is true. obviously. And then we assume that the statement hold true. For J is 1 up to K, we shall prove that one and two horn for J is K plus 1. So I will prove 1 and 2 at the same time by using this formula. So we have U H K plus 1 minus U at D K plus 1. So by this formula we have M theta minus 1, and we know that this is invertible, so it's safe to write this. And M theta U K plus theta tau theta f t k plus 1 plus tau 1 minus theta f at t k, and then minus u at t k plus 1. Because we prove by induction, so we will try to transform so that we get something like U at K minus U at TK. So we can apply the induction assumption. So to do this, we will then we will plus first we minus u at tk. So here we have the difference, and we can bound this value by the induction assumption. This is not clear, so I will rewrite it in another blackboard. So this is equal to m theta minus 1 n theta, and I will try to get some different, and then apply the induction assumption. So I will minus u t k here, and then I will plus m theta minus 1 m theta u t k, and then I would have the rest. Plus so theta ftk plus 1 plus tau 1 minus theta ftk then minus u at tk plus 1. In the infinity norm. So I can apply the triangle inequality to get n theta minus 1, n theta. So notice that we can bound this term by the induction assumption. And so the rest is to bound this term and this term. Notice that this term is not simple. I will try to make this is more similar, but not now. So first, I will try to bound this. Notice that this is not simple. So here, I will try to add m theta here and then take this outside. So we will have something like. So we will try to bound this term, and there, and this term here. Any question? Okay. I will try to bound this and this. And this one, stability lemma. And you can take a look at lemma 2.15 in the lecture note. This is other. We can bound n theta minus 1 n theta by 1 and n theta minus 1 by 1 for every atom positive and small enough, and tau over h squared less than 1/2. And for the implicit Euler, we have the same. But we don't need this condition. So this means that the explicit Euler is the implicit Euler is better than the explicit Euler, because the explicit Euler need this condition to be stable. So first we solve through the explicit Euler. So for the explicit Euler, then m theta, when theta is 0, is just the identity matrix. So this is trivial. And n theta in this case is identity minus tau LH. So we only need to prove identity matrix minus tau LH. So we only need to bow this term. And remember the formula LH. So remember the formula of LH. We have that identity matrix minus LH is actually so 1 minus tau D1 and then minus tau S1 and here minus tau R2 1 minus tau D2 and so on. So this is the matrix of identity minus tau LH. So the maximum norm of this matrix is actually the maximum of the sum of each row. So minus tau I plus 1 minus I missed something. So here minus tau over h square di plus tau over h square si. Maybe we can take a break about 10 minutes and then we come back and then to try to bow this term. So we back to this formula. We will try to bound this from above by some constant, and we know from section 1.8.2 that for h small enough, then Ri is negative, Si is also negative, and we want to remove the absolute value, so we would like to know that if this is positive or negative. So we see that 1 minus tau over h squared di is 1 minus tau over h squared, and then di is 2 plus x squared cxi. So this is actually 1 minus 2 tau hi and then minus tau cxi. We know that this is non-negative, so this will be positive if this wait a second. At the beginning we assume that C is positive. Yes. 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 Yes.
We have minus C.
Minus C.
Yeah. So
this should You mean here?
Yeah, first there, and then we will give the plus over there.
I don't get it. Because I would like to prove that this is positive, but I would like to prove that this is positive when tau over h squared is less than 1/2.
This will mean that there is a plus in the bracket.
Yes.
Okay, so we need in the brackets that also be minus from the h squared.
Yes.
In the bracket, yeah. So if there, in the coefficient.
But we know that the formula of LH, we cannot change this into minus. Right, because the formula of LH we get from the discretization of the equation of the heat equation. So this should be fixed value. We cannot change any side from 1.8.2. Yes.
But in 1.82,
yes.
Our equation is plus
cu. Yes, but at the end, my equation should be something like du dt and then minus LH u. I get the minus here. Okay, I get it. So if I choose tau over h squared less than 1/2, then 1 will be greater than 2 tau h squared. So this should be positive. And if I choose tau small enough so that this term is smaller than this term, then this is still positive. So this is positive when tau is small enough, and when tau over h squared less than 1/2. So I know that this is positive. This is negative. Actually, I have a minus here, so this is positive, and this is positive. So I can remove the absolute value to get. Tau over h squared minus ri minus xi plus 1 minus tau over x squared di. And then I plug the formula for di, xi, and ri into this one to get minus 2 plus r plus 2 plus 2 and then plus 1 minus tau over h squared 2 plus x squared cxi So this and this will be cancelled, and we get, at the end, we get mass one minus tau CXI. So this should be less than one because this is positive. So we already bound this by one for the explicit Euler. So for the explicit Euler, we have already bound this and this. Now we have to bound the implicit Euler. So for the implicit Euler, for the implicit Euler, then M theta will be identity plus tau LH, and N theta will be identity. So for the implicit Euler, then M theta minus 1 is actually M theta minus 1 M theta. And this actually identity plus tau LH minus 1. So we see that this is actually equal to tau LH minus 1, and then the 1 vector we know from section 1.8.2 that LH1 is components Y. Non-negative. So this means that the identity matrix plus tau LH1 is greater than 1. So we can apply lemma 1.41 to get that identity plus tau LH minus components Y non-negative and then remark 1.39 implies that implies a monotonicity property of this one. So we get, at the end we get, this is bounded from above by 1 So we have through the stability lemma. So the rest is that we need to bound this term from above. Okay. The language. Yes.
In the beginning, you might think it was one line above, and then the beginning.
One. Which one?
Why is the inequality sign between this term you are pointing at and the term before?
This term.
The equal sign before.
So you mean this one? You don't understand why I can go from here to here?
Yes.
Because here and entity is identity matrix. Because theta is 1.
Okay.
It's clear enough. Okay, so we shall prove the next lemma, which is to bound this term from above. Consistency lemma. And this is lemma 1.2.13 in the lecture note. So we prove that M theta U d k plus 1 is equal to N theta U d k plus theta tau F t k plus 1 plus tau 1 minus F t k plus O of tau square plus O of tau h square for k is 1, 2, up to m, and for theta is 0 and 1. Notice that this is similar from the formula star, but here bit u is a vector of exact solution. So first, by Taylor formula, we have U of TK plus 1 is U of TK plus tau, and then the derivative of TK plus O tau square. Note that that's here, we need that the exact solution is good enough. For example, exact solution belong to the last of C4 function, so that we can bow on up the rest by this term. And this one can be defined from the differential equation. So remember that we have something like this is the equation that we get after we redesign the x axis. So because of this one, and so remember that here we get this formula by using the approximation of ux and uxs like this. So here we have big O to the of x to the power 2, and also we have big O of x to the power 2. So more or less, this actually, so this follow by the approximation formula of UXX and UX. So we can put this one into this one to get and this actually the formula here for tau, for theta is 0. So in the same manner, if we use this one, but we here we use k plus 1, then we will get, and then we just take the same value here, same value, same formula here, and here we will get k plus 1, k plus 1, and then this is actually the formula for theta is 1. So finally, we have proved the lemma for theta is 0 and theta is 1. OK.
In cases, do you have to replace this k by k plus 1?
Sorry?
You said that in the derivative time, you can replace tk, tk plus 1.
Yes, because here, in this formula, so in this formula, we have the approximation of, so here you can use that tk or either 2k or either tk plus 1, because that the derivative of, I will write out, it's more careful. So here is the derivative of u at tk. And then this can be approximated by u at tk plus 1 minus u at tk over t over tau, and then plus r. This can be, we can also have tk plus 1 So this, we use this formula to prove the explicit order, and we use this formula to prove the implicit order. Okay, so now we bound this and this by the stability lemma, and we bound this one by the consistency lemma. So at the end, we will have so at the end, we will have UTK plus 1 minus UHK plus 1 in the maximum norm will be less than this is 1. This is bit O of h squared plus O tau by the induction assumption, and this is 1 again, and this is bit O of tau h squared plus O of tau squared. So in the end, we can bow this by O of tau plus O of h squared. And we are done. So the conversion theorem has been proved. Any question? Okay, right. So we still have 10 minutes. Maybe we will talk a little bit about the next session. But remember that we can have the conversion. We have the conversion is bounded from above by this term. This means that you H K converse to U T K for H star go to 0. And if we use a explicit Euler, we also need this assumption. And for the implicit Euler, we do not need this assumption. So this means that in the exercise 11.4, you will see that if you choose tau and h, so that you don't have this inequality, then your numerical solution will oscillate a lot. And remember that this assumption is only for 1D. If you use 3D, if you consider the 2D equation, For example, in 11.4, you consider xy belong to the square, the unit square. Then this condition becomes t over h. Sorry, this is over 1/2 t over h square less than 1/4. So this is condition, the stability condition for the explicit Euler in 1D. And this is the stability condition for the explicit Euler in 2D. And as we can see from the stability lemma that the implicit Euler is unconditional stable. So if you remember exercise 7.4, you can cling this condition to the A stable and L stable because this is not A stable. Basically, we need this condition so that it is stable. And this is only A stable and L stable. And anything else? Okay. And in the theta methods, another special case is for theta is 1/2. So remember that this is for every theta, but for special case, for example, theta is 0, we know that this is explicit Euler. Theta is 1, we know that this is implicit Euler. And another special case is theta is 1/2, and this is Kronig-Gaussian. And if you remember from exercise 7.4 that this method is A stable but not L stable. So if for example if B is big enough or if tau and h is not small enough, then this is also oscillate. And we also know from the exercise 7.4 that this is oscillate. This is not, so if t is not so small, then this will first not stable, and then this is the second not stable, and this is very good whenever t is big or small. Is there anything else? We still have 5 minutes. Okay, maybe we will start from tomorrow the transverse equation because it's not convenient to start today, only 5 minutes, and then how do you think? We can just discuss about 5 minutes and then we will start again tomorrow. It's up to you. Okay. Okay, question.
Why do we say that we have two boundary conditions?
Because because you know that when you do the discretization to get LH, we still need the value U at n plus 1 for the matrix BH. Do you remember that? And after that, after we get BH, we will put this to the F so that the UH will be something like LH minus 1 and then FH minus BH, something like this. And if you don't know the value of U at n plus 1, then this is unknown. So you cannot calculate UH from this formula. So you at the end, you still get U at n and U of 0. So that's why we need the boundary condition at x is 0 and x is 1. Is it clear enough for you? Because maybe if you have the lecture notes, we will take a look at the formula of the BH.